See reviews in a more holistic sense. See them as an opportunity to re-engage with your clients. Re-engagement, positive re-engagement. Even by asking for that feedback, you are reminding them how good you are. You're bringing yourself back into their lives. And if you respond to that engagement, as our system allows you to do, if you respond to it, you will create advocacy in your existing client base. And all the research shows over many, many years that those people, once they've given you the feedback, once you've said thank you, they are going to be 20 times more likely to talk about you to other people.
You're listening to The Grow Show with me, Gary Jones. Hey folks, and welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Now, I am joined today by Martin Verman from Review Biz. Now, guess what we're going to be talking about? We are going to be talking about reviews. We're going to be talking about how trustworthy they are, but also I wanted to share with you Martin's story, his journey, and how we got into business, so we can learn from the lessons that he's been through to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and also grow your community. So Martin, cheers for coming on to The Grow Show. How are you doing?
I'm fine, and thank you for inviting me. Great. Good to see you, Gary.
Absolutely pleasure. Now, we met each other probably about a month ago now at a networking event, and your business and your story fascinated me. So that's why I wanted to get you on the show. So thank you for coming on. For the people who don't know what you do at this precise moment, tell us a little bit about Review Biz and how you help your customers.
Okay, in simple terms, we're part of the review industry, but it would be true to say we're very different. In fact, we're unique. Three major differences between us and what you might perceive us to do and the rest of the world. So what are those differences? Well, the first one is that we do everything through our client's own brand. Very important. And we do that by putting a dynamic widget, which matches their colors, their style, on their very own website. So everything, in fact, is thereafter in-house, because that widget does two things. We promote our clients' reviews through that. It's also the place where their customers and clients go to submit a review. So, as I say, wholly in-house. Couple of benefits with that particular difference is that people are much more comfortable to go there. Let's be honest, people are fearful about what happens to their data. So instead of asking them to go to a third party location to make some contribution to your feedback, they go to a site that they've probably been to before. And it also engenders a different type of content. I mean by that, if you, for example, Gary, asked me to go to your site and leave you some feedback, I'll have been there before, I know you, I feel comfortable, I'll go there. But instead of talking about you and your business, I'll be talking to you. Subtle difference. I'll be talking about the man himself, his values, his ethos, if you like, the sort of things we all would like to know about somebody before we pick up the phone and engage with them.
Brilliant. And have you always been in the review business? Tell us how you got into it.
Well, that's a story in its own right, but very briefly, up until about 7 years ago, 7.5 years ago, I ran a broader-based marketing company for smaller businesses. And the reality was that budgets weren't great. And then I came up with this idea and tested it out, if you like, a pilot scheme with half a dozen of our existing clients. And the idea was based on the following, the why, if you like, we came into existence. And that is that to get around the budgets, I thought, well, what do small, medium business owners have that they might not be using? Perhaps that the bigger brands don't pay much attention to. And that's something called goodwill. Now, we've all got that. We've worked hard for it. And in effect, it's a free marketing resource, which we need to make proper use of. So that's where the idea was born from. What do we do with that goodwill? We turn it into reviews and feedback for our business.
Brilliant. And actually, as a marketer myself, I know how important it is to generate goodwill. I always loved goodwill anyway. It's part of kind of why I really set up my business, was to help as many people as I can. But also, it's really hard to get reviews and testimonials from people. And that could be from a number of different reasons. Let's explore some of them now. So what are the common ones that stop people from getting testimonials or reviews at this kind of core of it?
Well, I think that I've touched on one, and that is that their unwillingness often to go to a third party and leave data there. Mm-hmm. And so that puts a few people off. I also think that actually as business owners have a responsibility, because it's not just about reviews, it's about engagement, re-engaging with your clients. So we encourage all our clients to actually become active on that front and do the one thing that you need to do, ask. And so many business owners say, I struggle. But when we talk to them, it's because they haven't asked. And it should be an integral part of your marketing strategy. And I think that's, but you also have to make it easy for them, which is what our system does. So I think those three reasons probably cover my answer to your very good question.
And you know what? I completely agree with you, because as a business owner myself, do you know what? I struggle to ask for reviews after I've done work with people, if it's a podcast, if it's creating a piece of content, whether that's video, blog, whatever it is. It's that kind of, I don't know, self-promotion. Now, I don't mind giving maximum value in terms of videos and kind of going on to different places and doing a quick live here and there. But there's something different. It's probably just psychologically, but something different about asking for a review. Because it's one of those things where it doesn't, for some people, it doesn't sit well inside them. So I get that. I completely 100% get that.
Yeah, I mean, some people might say it's a British thing. I don't think it is. I think we all have a good element of humility, and we perceive it as a question. Well, tell me I'm good. Well, that's not what we're talking about. And actually, to overcome that, what we tell our clients, or what I would tell anybody, to be fair, is ask for feedback. Mm-hmm. Very different term. It's much more open. And for example, never use the word testimonial. Why? Because the word testimonial implies good. Give me a testimonial because I know you think I'm good. That's not what this is about. But if we ask for feedback, it's a open-ended, psychologically open-ended. And that's a great thing to ask. And you'll get a much more positive response by asking for it in those terms. Another tip I would offer people is to not always wait until you've finished the job, as it were. Particularly if it's a one-off, where you've delivered your invoice and then said, well, yeah, I appreciate you're happy. I hope you are. Would you give me a review or feedback? They've gone. Psychologically, they've moved on. You might have been the best thing in the world. So sometimes it's more advantageous to say partway through the process, how are we doing so far? Could you give me some feedback? Very, very positive thing to ask. They're in the moment and much more likely to provide it.
Really good point about the timing of the actual asking, but also reframing how you're asking, the purpose of the asking. So really nice. I love that. The good thing, when we spoke about reviews beforehand, we were talking about the different companies which are out there. And actually, it's possible to leave a review and it not being checked. And it could be false. It could be true. It could be elaborate, you know, it could be completely extravagant. It could be anything. But you've got a really cool technique to solve that. Tell us about it.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I mentioned three differentials between us and the rest of the world. And we move on to the second and third one effectively now, but the second one certainly. And that is to say, I mean, all the research shows that very, very sadly, and I'm sure it doesn't apply to too many businesses, but very, very sadly, 40% of everything we read out there is false, made up. And I'm going to get passionate now. It's lies. It's not right.
Sorry, 40%.
Up to 40% of everything out there. I mean, to compound that, and if my passion overcomes me, I'm sorry, but I won't apologize for it because I think this is just wrong. If you accept that figure or anything like it, it's a huge and major problem for all of us, in as much that it undermines all 90% of all businesses, genuine ones. And to make it worse, if you can go on the internet today and actually buy them, you can go to a company who said, I will provide you with reviews. So you go on the major search engines, find a business that will do that for you, and they average around £3 a go. So the reality is, you can cheat your way to the top of the rankings. You can cheat your way into people's lives. It's not right. And both business owners, the 99%, the genuine ones, and the consumers and customers out there deserve something better.
Yeah, I completely agree. And your passion is completely admirable. So no, keep that passion. Keep that passion. It just screams out to me, how can we kind of differentiate between the good reviews and the bad reviews?
Okay. Well, I mean, to me, I'm astounded that we are, even today, after 7.5 years of training, still the only review service that does this. But it's not rocket science. What we do is that we independently validate all reviews submitted through our system. So when someone goes to your widget, hypothetically now, Gary, and submits a review about you, you won't see it until we have independently validated that. Now, what that means is we put a few polite little buffers in at the front end. For example, we ask people to provide us with their full data, in as much as their full name and their email address. And you'd be surprised.
So quite simple details. It's not rocket science.
But that filters out a lot of people. It creates a different tone, a different meaning straight away. And then once it's submitted and they say Gary's 5-star, that still will not go live until we, independent of you, without you even knowing this is happening, independently validate it by communicating directly with the reviewer. And we set them a couple of more substantial, but again, polite challenges. Now, 99% of them pass this, with the buffers at the front end filter a few people out. But once they've done that, and only when they've done that, will that review go live in your widget. And that leads us on to, so that's how we control it. So what we're saying is that our clients thereafter have the most credible and therefore influential reviews of anything out there. And it's very sad we have to go to that length, but that's the way the world is. So when someone's looking at our clients' reviews, they have much more influence and credibility. And one of the benefits of that, beyond the obvious, I'm amazed to say, even after 2 years of still researching this figure, that between 15 and 20% of people say, if I find Gary's reviews more credible, or indeed credible in their own right, I'll pay more. So the world is changing. It's not about price.
No, I completely agree with you there. It's quite, I was at a marketing conference last year, so in 2019, and they were talking about the review, how people use the internet and social media for research before buying different things. So for instance, if you're buying a shed, or you're looking to, let's say a shed, a garden shed, you might go onto Facebook and just kind of, or say to people, you know, who supplied your garden shed, or where did you get the materials for it, how did you make it. Then at that point they might get 3 or 4 different places recommended to them by different people. Then they might go onto their websites, they might go onto their social media feeds and check those out even before talking to that business. You know, they've checked, they've got recommendations, then they've gone onto there. Then what will they do? They'll probably use reviews to shortlist that further. You know, which ones resonate more than me, which ones have been built or been delivered to people who are in my kind of circle of influence and who I kind of resonate with, and then they might get in contact with the business. It's completely changed. So with you vetting those reviews, with you placing them on the website where people will check out and will use that as a way of getting more information, you're dead right. It's not about price, because price hasn't even factored into it at this stage.
No.
It is all about basically educating the customer and then giving them the trust in the business.
Yes.
Even before price comes into it. It's not about price.
No, it's not. And sort of that leads us on to another point by way of the differential of the data that we try and create for our clients to get the man across again. That's the deciding factor, Gary, in most transactions. Why would I go to Gary rather than Fred or Julie down the road? Actually, I like Gary. Sounds like a decent guy. I'm going to pick up the phone or communicate with him. And we all say that. Most business owners you and I meet say word of mouth, recommendation. But it's got to be, you're not going to recommend someone if you don't take to them. You're not going to buy from them. You're not going to engage with them. And so the nature of the content is hugely important to give the review and communicate to the person reading it what's really necessary.
Would you say there's a structure to a good review?
A structure?
Yeah, or how a review, or what points should go into a review?
I think the more personal it is, the better. Particularly if it's a business, it depends on the business. If it's product, you're obviously going to talk about the product and the service you receive. But if we stretch beyond that, where you're engaging with an individual or a team of individuals, for example, I think it matters immensely to communicate the type of people you are dealing with, and in quite an appropriate but intimate way. Those extra things, But if you ask me what the best reviewer in the world is, include those facets, but also perhaps someone who's given you of their time and their expertise and their advice, but hasn't made any money out of you. Okay. In other words, that business has got a review from someone who sought their help, was given help and advice, but never ended up spending any money with them. What a great review is that? What does that tell you about the man, the lady, the business? What does that tell you about them? It's immense. The best review in the world. And actually, a lot of our clients do that. A lot of people you know do that, and I'm sure you do it. And people never ask for that sort of review. I haven't done any business. That's not what it's about. It's about you as a human being. What a wonderful story that is.
That's a really good point, because you'd automatically think about reviews about a product or service, but that doesn't mean to say it was chargeable. Really good point. Really good point. How do you view video testimonials over written testimonials?
Sorry, Gary, I missed you there, and it's my hearing.
Oh, sorry. So how do you compare video testimonials to written testimonials?
Okay.
Is there a difference, or if you're a small business, would you aim to get one or the other? How do you think about it?
I'll answer that initially by saying we put both in our widgets. We can have video reviews along with the written. I think it depends. I personally am of the view that to have too many video reviews, and only video reviews, is a negative, because they tend to lose their influence. Are they, you know, that skepticism can creep back in. Mm-hmm. So I think personally there's a place for both, which is why we accommodate both. But if you ask me, if I had 10 reviews, I'd say a couple of videos and the rest should be written. But yes, as they are powerful. Some people are more visual, some people like the other. But I think that, you know, the video reviews have to be succinct. They shouldn't be more than 60 seconds long to have the effect. So yeah, a combination of both. Both have their place. But if you ask me to dip one way or the other, I'd say written.
I love how passionate you are about it. I absolutely love it. It comes across in everything you're saying.
Thank you.
Has it always been that way?
Do you know, I mean, it may come from my previous career. I was in police service. Now, don't let anybody let you put you off. I say that only to say that I'm passionate about injustice, right and wrong matters. And what's happening to so many of us out there now, so many good, hardworking, decent business owners, their integrity is being undermined by all this fake, I'm going to say, rubbish that's out there, by these people cheating their way to a number of reviews. And so that matters to me. And that's why I feel so passionate about what we're doing. And integrity matters. If we go right back to the start, where are our reviews born? They're born out of that goodwill. So they therefore should be treated accordingly and protected and looked after. And where we all suffer from the, as is common in this world, we all suffer from the bad activity of the few. I think that's wrong, and we should try whenever possible to rectify that.
I couldn't say it better myself.
I'm
surprised. Actually, I say I'm surprised, but actually, am I surprised? I don't know. That 40% are all made up. That's a crazy figure. And if that's the case, then actually having personal reviews that are vetted are so, so important. And that's the future of reviews. We've been talking for 18 minutes and it's gone just like that. Is there any other kind of top tips that you wanted to throw out there before we close the interview?
I'd just like to precursor that answer with something else that we haven't had a chance to talk about.
Go
yet,
for it.
Barry, and
yeah,
that, and that is the other issue of unfair and malicious submissions.
Such a good point.
Yeah,
such a good point.
Well, appreciate it. And what we do about that is that our system protects our clients against that. And I won't bore you or your listeners with how we do that. But that's equally wrong, if not worse than the former. And what we do there is to protect our clients from that awful thing, unfair, malicious, which can damage the business. And I have to say, on other platforms, you can't even get removed without a great deal of difficulty. And if you do, the damage is done. Now, that damage may be minimal. It may just upset the business owner. That's not right. But I do know of one or two business owners that would tell you today that I'm half a dozen bad reviews away from bankruptcy, especially in the food sector, where it's easy to do that. So what we're saying is, if our client has let their client down, it will still go live, because we humanly get involved in that. We humanly moderate it, and we talk to the client, we talk and test out the evidence and so on. But I have to say, the overwhelming majority of reviews that fall into that category and come to us for moderation are seen to be malicious. Within the last few months alone, we've had 3 blackmail attempts on our client base. People, sadly, the internet, social media, the review system is a place for cowards. It's a place for bad people to perpetuate their desires. And I think what we do to protect our clients against that is equally important. But going back to the original part of your question, I would say, think about the how your reviews are undermined. I know your listeners will not be in that category of cheating. They do not deserve to be maliciously responded to. But their integrity as a result to the outside world is being undermined. That's thoroughly wrong. It's time to do things differently, guys. Think about those factors and think about how you may go forward and rectify that. But I wish you all well.
No, and as someone who speaks to business owners pretty much every day, I've seen probably over the last 12 weeks, probably 4 businesses who have had malicious reviews made on their social media platforms. Yeah. And they're either from competitors who have had no kind of experience at all, and they are literally just doing it because their particular business, actually, I don't know what motives they've got for it, but that is a competitor. It could be an upset customer who feels unjust, or it could be just literally a kind of one was pure hatred the person, nothing about the business, purely to the person.
Sure.
And that's in the last couple of weeks.
I know.
And it's quite scary that you're dead right, that some people take it to heart. Some people, the effects on their business is disastrous. It's horrendous for them and their business. Some people can just shrug it off. It's not fair and it's unjust.
It's not right.
But at least you've got a way of vetting it. And yeah, as you said, it's a human way of responding to it.
Yeah. And I mean, that's where most of our cost and activity lies. Let me be clear we've only had 9, can you imagine, because of our buffers in there. But we've only had 9 hit the moderation process, but 8 of those were malicious. 1 was not. Our client had let his client down. Therefore, it had to go live because of the credibility for all of us. However, he had heads up on it. He was advised how to respond to it. And guess what? He went and put it right. And 2 weeks later, he got a 5-star review at the same person. Don't be frightened of feedback. If you're a decent business owner, as I'm sure all your listeners are, it can bring you kudos just by putting it right.
I love it. Thank you so, so much for those wise words. Very, very good. I can't let this interview go past by without asking the one final question to kind of finish it all off.
Okay.
And that is, if you had just one takeaway point, one final thought that you wanted to share with the listeners of the show, and actually help the whole wide world, what would your final thought be for this, for today and to end this interview?
Okay. Well, what I would say to you is, see reviews in a more holistic sense. See them as an opportunity to re-engage with your clients. Re-engagement, positive re-engagement. Even by asking for that feedback, you are reminding them how good you are. You're bringing yourself back into their lives. And if you respond to that engagement, as our system allows you to do, if you respond to it, you will create advocacy in your existing client base. And all the research shows over many, many years that those people, once they've given you the feedback, once you've said thank you, they are going to be 20 times more likely to talk about you to other people. Wow, what a resource is that for any business? That would be my one tip if I had to choose one. Thanks
Brilliant.
Very much.
No, thank you very much. And if people want to find more information about your business, Review Beers, or check you out on social, how can they find out more information from you?
Yeah, please go. It's all outlined on our website, which is www.reviewbiz.net. And if you wish to talk to us, please communicate with us through that, and we'll happily have an informal chat. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time today. I'm going to put the link to your website in the show notes as well. So please, everyone, check that out. And if you've got any questions, he's got his email right above his head there. So please, please, please send me an email, get in touch with via the website. Martin, thank you so much for your time today. And let's catch up again later on this year. Take care.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Now, a real quick message before we leave the show. Just wanted to let you know that we have got a Facebook page called The Grow Show Podcast. So type that into Facebook, The Grow Show Podcast. This is where you'll find all the latest updates, news, events. Plus, also, this is where you'll be able to get on The Grow Show as well. Plus, listen to previous episodes. So hope you enjoy this podcast. If you do, please share it with peeps. But also, let's connect on Facebook under The Grow Show. Take care, my friends, and I'll see you next time.